Welcome to the Oddity Shop, where the bizarre is always on sale.
Welcome back, oddballs, to the Oddity Shop podcast. This is the show where we tell you weird, creepy, strange, odd, bizarre stories from around the world, and we open up the shop and bring them to you.
That is your curator, Zach. That is what we do.
Sitting here with our interrupting curator, Kara, who can't talk. What the hell is going on, Kara?
I had a horrible day.
That's fine. It's better now because you get to hang out with me.
But now I'm just like Fruit Loops.
A loopy. Nice. What's going on in your world other than horrible day?
What is good? I don't really know. That's so sad. I'm trying to think. I don't know, but would you like to share what is not good? What did we...
Not really. I don't want to bring people down. Okay, let's share what is good.
So no, what I mean by the bad is that we sent a certain little individual, wonderful individual, a letter, and then the day before the episode that we sent the letter about...
All right, stop being cryptic. I got cursed by Robert, okay? Mm-hmm. The day before the Robert episode went live, two nights before, actually, right? My phone started going into SOS mode. The next day, which is the day before the episode came out, it would not go out of SOS mode.
Yep.
Also that morning, I lost power. So I'm trying to deal with the phone and everything, go to start the podcast computer, and the power surged when it went out and fried my power supply. So we had to repair the computer. We had to repair the phone. I am writing another letter now.
Well,
we're going to see.
Yeah, you're going to write this time.
Yes, because apparently Kara writing it for me didn't work.
Well,
so yeah. Anyways, we're sorry if anything happened to anybody else.
Listen, everywhere. Just write a letter. It's fine.
Yeah. Right.
See, that's why.
What do we got on the good news?
Oh, I was just going to say the good news is because we wrote that letter, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, let's go with that.
What do we have on the good side? The good side.
I am 53 days alcohol free right now. Halfway. We pushed it. We finally have, I have a goal. April 8th, which is 100 days. Which is about actually pretty close to when this one's coming out because we're still recording ahead. But ask me then when this episode airs if I made it to my 100 days.
Why would we ask you when you're going to? Let's see. I'm 30 days in.
Hell yeah.
So I started a little bit behind. Yeah.
Look at us giving our livers a break.
Yeah. So, and everything else. Our brains, our anxiety.
I'm on 3 weeks straight of working out, which is insane for me. Like, I usually give up 2 weeks in.
Yeah, we're doing great things.
I should have a six-pack by April 8th, is what I'm saying.
I mean, anything's possible.
It's just going to be still protected by a few layers, but, you know. But yeah, that's about all I got this week. Anything else exciting, fun, wonderful happening in your life?
I don't have to work tomorrow.
Nice. All right, that's a win. We'll take it.
All right.
What do you got?
Okay. Do you have a confession that you would make on your deathbed? It's just a yes or no, because obviously you can't share it or elaborate or we'd have to kill you.
I really don't think so. Not at this point in my life yet, but I want one. I want a good one.
Just to like drop to those family members, loved ones, and bam, out with a bang. Mic drop.
Right. Like, I was patient zero for COVID. Done.
God, I think you should edit that out.
Well, I already said I don't have, but I want something exciting.
I don't
exciting,
think that's
you know?
Exciting.
A legacy.
What legacy is gonna bring?
I don't know, Kara. It just seemed like a good deathbed confession. What about you? Do you have one already?
No, I don't have one already. I don't.
That's because you're boring.
No, I am, clearly. Okay. Well, I'm glad that, I was gonna say I'm glad that you don't have one, but no, like I want you to have like a good one. Like something just spicy to leave your loved ones, but you're not going to die anytime soon, so you got time.
I got some time.
All right. This is now Kara's Corner, where you all turn into elementary children, and I read you a tale. Are you ready?
I was trying to think of something like kindergartner would say, witty back, but I got nothing. So
everybody, please
go on, Miss Teacher.
Sit crisscross applesauce, and please put your hands in your lap. No touching anybody else. No, they always tell you, don't touch their hair. Keep your hands to yourself.
I won't start cleaning my phone this time.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Once there was a girl named Jenny. She was like all the other girls, except for one thing. She always wore a green ribbon around her neck. There was a boy named Alfred in her class. Alfred liked Jenny, and Jenny liked Alfred. And one day he asked her, "Why do you wear that ribbon around your neck all the time?" "I cannot tell you," said Jenny. But Alfred kept asking, "Why do you wear it?" And Jenny would say, "It isn't important." Jenny and Alfred grew up and fell in love. One day they got married. After their wedding, Alfred said, "Now that we are married, you must tell me about the green ribbon." "You still must wait," said Jenny. "I will tell you when it is the right time." Years passed. Alfred and Jenny grew old. One day, Jenny became very sick. They have little kindergartners.
But you're really going for that kindergarten teacher.
I told you, it's Paris Garner.
Selling okay. It.
The doctor told her she was dying. Jenny called Alfred to her side. "Alfred," she said, "now I can tell you about the green ribbon. Untie it, and you will see why I could not tell you before." Slowly and carefully, Alfred untied the ribbon, and Jenny's head fell off. And that was Alvin Schwartz, the Green Ribbon. And we talked about this because this is my obsession in elementary school.
I was going to say, I am shocked that it's taken you to episode 81 to finally figure out a way to read that to everyone, because you've only mentioned that story at least 10 times by now. So I'm very happy.
Well,
for
if you don't know, you're new here. This is my obsession when I was in elementary school. I would check it out over and over again from the library. The librarian definitely knew I was insane. And I think this is what started my weird. So if you are interested, it's In a Dark, Dark Room and Other Scary Stories is what book it is in. So as I thought about this beloved story the other day, it got me thinking. Jenny's deathbed confession was that her head was attached by a green ribbon for no apparent reason. But what other deathbed confessions could I find?
How, though, does a ribbon hold on a...
I don't know.
At least entertain the question. God.
I mean, I don't know, but if you... Everybody should look up the pictures of this, too, because they're, like, just, like, creepy, just weird. I'm going to show Zach.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
creepy. I mean,
It's just creepy. Read the book. I know.
It's a scary story book.
Yeah, but elementary school kids shouldn't be reading about fucking heads popping off for no reason. It's just disturbing. Anyway, I have no idea how it would have stayed on for all of those years. Like, didn't she shower? Didn't it get, like, all tattered and withered? Why was it green?
How does it hold anything in the first place?
But, like, green doesn't go with, like, anything. Why wouldn't you pick, like, white or black? But white would get dirty, so I don't know.
Oh.
There are so many questions, Zach, that we will just never understand. Because you know why? Jenny's head's off of her head. I mean, Jenny's head's off of her body. Jenny's head's off of her head.
I didn't even catch it. I'm just like, yep, sure.
All right. Thus, the spiral of deathbed confession stories transpired. So here we are. What is a deathbed confession? Also known as a dying declaration, you might ask. A deathbed confession is an admittance or confession made by a person nearing death or on their quote-unquote deathbed. It's kind of obvious, but, you know, some people might not.
Thank you for that. It's much clearer now.
These confessions can range from confessing a sin that maybe you committed all the long years ago and crimes that you've committed or witnessed. Often confessions are made to clear the dying conscious. I tried to find, like, a statistic on how many people have a deathbed confession, and I really couldn't find anything that said that, but what I will say...
There's probably not many surveys that get filled out. Did you give a deathbed confession?
I don't know. I feel like there's, like, statistics for the weirdest shit. So fair. I just kind of thought, you enough. Know, enough. I thought maybe. But judging from, like, the stories that there are a lot of confessions, so the number has to be high. Also, if you're wondering, like I was, a deathbed confession can be admissible evidence in court under certain circumstances. And if someone confesses knowledge of a crime and then dies or their condition worsens, the law does not consider the statement to be hearsay and it can be used in a criminal trial.
Interesting.
All right, so we're going to shake it up a bit, okay? Like Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Shake it off. Oh, that's shake it off. Never mind. Well, we're going to shake.
Just stop.
Shake, shake, Shake. Okay. So after each deathbed confession I tell you, let's like discuss about it. And then I want you to tell me if you would have confessed or not.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready?
Got it.
I'm ready. All right. So there are like, these all vary from like different articles and Reddit and stuff like that. So if it had a username, I'll give the username. If not, I'm just going to say anonymous. Let's get confessing. Hold on, I need a drink.
I feel like we should be in one of those wooden boxes,
you know? Oh my God. We should have made it look like we were on a confessional, like the confessional in a...
Yes, it's confessional. I couldn't think of that. I knew it wasn't...
No, I know, but even in like a... like on a reality TV, like the confessionals.
Oh, like we should... Oh, damn. Darn it.
Whew. All right. Are you ready?
Yes. It's like the third time. Yes.
My mom had a patient who was terminal and confessed to killing his twin brother in Vietnam so he could blame the death on the war, steal his identity, and then return to the U.S. to be with his brother's wife. The wife had passed away years earlier, and the patient's children blamed the confession on dementia until after his passing, but it turns out the patient's daughter ended up finding a handwritten confession from decades ago stuffed in an old Bible. That's from Anonymous. So this man had a twin brother. They were both... In Vietnam, he killed his twin brother, staged it on the war so that he could steal his identity and go back and be married to his brother's wife.
So when you're saying staged it on the war, he faked his own death then so he could like assume his brother's personality?
Well, yeah. So he killed.
Okay. So he killed his brother fake and then made it.
Correct.
Okay.
That's wild.
I mean, he does realize that she would have been well, I guess if he didn't kill her. Like, I feel like he didn't have to take...
No. What do you... No.
The person... Or the identity. On.
Yeah, because he wanted to be with his brother's wife.
Right. But she... If he just killed his brother, she would have been single anyway.
She probably wouldn't want to be with him. Why would you want to... Why would you... If your husband...
I don't know. It seems like a lot of steps to go
through. It seems like he was just pretending to be his brother, so she didn't know.
Yikes.
That's crazy. First off,
it's kind of fucked up.
It's really fucked up. So, first off, would you have done
Do you feel the most powerful and beautiful with the elements of the earth around you? Do you like one-of-a-kind jewelry? Do you sometimes feel like a woodland fairy? Me too. That's why I created Holly and Hemlock, a magical shop filled with handmade wooden jewelry and metaphysical tools. Come check out our enchanting wooden wares at www.hollyhemlock.com. And join us in honoring the magic and beauty of nature with each unique creation. That's www.hollyhemlock.com.
No, what? And like, why would he write it in a Bible so far?
Girl, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, so if you did that.
You said discuss.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I don't know. If you did that, would you have confessed to it after all those years when you're about to die?
I mean, probably, yeah.
I mean, at least the wife was dead so that she'll never know.
Oh, then definitely.
So that's like, it's not like he confessed and she was still alive and then was like, are you fucking kidding me? All these years? Oh my God. Wait, this is actually really fucked up because you know that he came home and she consoled him for the fact that his brother died when in reality it was actually her husband.
That is
really fucked up. Oh my God, this is way more fucked up than I was like.
I mean, it's also just fucked up to kill your own sibling. But.
Oh, for sure. I mean, is a girl ever worth that? I don't know. She sounds like she was great.
I mean, in my book, definitely not.
Well, right. All right. So that's a no for you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yes, that's a no.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill anybody.
And if you did, you wouldn't confess to it, or you would confess to it?
Oh, I mean, I probably still would.
Okay, so you're saying yes. You would confess to that one.
Well, I'm going to die. I'm probably going to confess to them all. How certain is the death?
100% certain.
Okay. Well, let me hear some more, and then I'll figure out.
Oh, we'll just go back.
Blink it yes or no.
Okay, well, oh, that's a good idea. I'll read them all, and then we'll discuss, and then I'll ask you after which ones you would confess and not.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. I had a patient who was an 86-year-old woman who put a bunch, it's all in caps, of crosses around the room. I had to ask her to take them down due to the inability to create the care she needed. She insisted they all stay up because it was one cross for each soul she took. If that's true, she took 14 souls. The fuck? What do you think she could have meant?
That's what I was just going to say. She leaves it on like such a cliffhanger.
What do you think that if she's not talking about murdering 14 people, because she stole their souls or sucked their souls out of them, whatever. What do you think she meant? What could that mean?
Maybe she was a hospice worker herself and she helped 14 people cross over.
Okay.
Or maybe she belonged to like some cult and she took 14 people and made them drop Christianity.
Oh, maybe. I also, like, I guess I was just trying to picture like crosses. Like, I can't imagine they were like huge because if she had 14, but like, what? Why would she need to take them down? An inability to create the care she needed? I don't know what that would, how that would affect the care that she needed because they were hung on the wall. Oh, I guess it just says around the room. Never mind. I assume that they were like tacked to the wall.
She just had like 3 or 4 foot crosses.
I don't know, but that one gave me the heebie-jeebies when she said each.
I would
soul.
Have to ask more questions.
I don't know if I would, because then what if she takes my soul?
Well, she's dying.
It don't matter. Maybe she wants to collect one more. Maybe that one more soul will keep her around one more year.
It'd be difficult for her to carry it out.
Okay. I work in end-of-life care and have been there for many deathbed confessions, but the saddest one was a woman who delivered an illegitimate stillborn baby at home by herself and decided to put the baby's body in the basement freezer because she couldn't bear the idea of her community knowing what happened.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's from, that one actually had a user. It was Regina Alloway. But I read that one and I was like, that is so painful.
Sorry, was it stillborn?
So she delivered it herself and it was stillborn, but it was an illegitimate child. So instead of just going through the scrutiny of the world knowing that she had an illegitimate...
I remember the stillborn part later.
Oh.
So when I first said, ooh, I'm like, did she just went and like...
Yeah, either
way.
I mean,
I put down a rat that way, but, you know, wouldn't do that to a human.
No, the baby was already... Anyway,
okay,
but that's
okay,
so that sad that she just thought that she needed to have, that's awful. I have so many questions though. Is it still in the freezer? What did she do with
it? Yeah, why not just bury it?
Unless she just put it in the freezer initially. What the fuck?
See, I guess, depending, I'm going to assume she was an older person. So it was back when illegitimate children and that sort of stuff was way more looked down upon. So I don't think it's actually that terrible in that sense.
No.
I think it's more terrible from a societal standpoint, yeah, that you felt like you had to carry that yourself.
That's what I mean.
That's a huge, huge emotional and psychological thing to carry through your life.
That's so sad.
Well, maybe she had to tell whoever was inheriting the house, like, careful of that freezer.
Or she did eventually bury... Oh! Okay, we're moving on. I can't. My mom and aunt grew up thinking their sister Suzanne died by slipping and falling while getting out of the bathtub. They were all in their 20s when it happened, and it wasn't until my grandfather was on his deathbed that my mom and aunt found out how she really died. They had been cleaning out the house when they came across Suzanne's death certificate and discovered the true cause of the death. They confronted my grandfather, who confessed that Suzanne had died by suicide.
Aww.
And that's Luna Lee 212. I know. That is really sad.
Okay. The other ones, I'm breaking the rule. We don't have to wait to the end. Okay. Right. The other ones, I would probably have confessed them all, right? Because it's, if you were the murderer and you took 14 souls, those 14 people are already gone, right? Like, the emotional damage is already there. You're just giving closure on your deathbed.
Okay.
This one, I probably wouldn't.
So here's the only kind of disclaimer, whatever you want to say, is that they did find her death certificate and then just kind of confronted him. For the truth.
Right.
I guess they would have found out either way, but I don't know if I were him. I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to cop out to the truth at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see where he's coming from a point of protection.
Yes.
I would say if they were maybe like young teens or even younger than that, that would make sense. But you said they're all in their 20s. And I feel like at that point, though, you kind of need to sit the family down and say, hey, we're all old enough to discuss this.
Yeah. But I do...
But once you make the lie, you kind of got to run.
I know. And I do really understand, though, the thought of just not wanting to tell your children that their sister... Yeah. You know, because that would just put guilt on them.
It would put guilt on them. And also, you know, people who are struggling mentally and are exposed to cases of suicide have higher rates of suicide as well. So I could see from his point where he could maybe look at it as like a protection.
Yeah. All right. My dad grew up thinking his mom committed suicide when he was 10. When my grandfather passed away about a decade ago, he confessed to my dad on his deathbed that he had actually killed my grandmother. That's anonymous. So the Fuck. What?
Damn.
That man killed his wife, staged a suicide, got away with it, and then decided on his deathbed, you know what, I might as well just tell my son that I killed his mom. What?
Yeah, it's kind of a dick move, because now, like, that poor kid will never be able to get any more details. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
No, like, not that it's ever deserved, but, like, was she doing something wrong? Was she, like, did she deserve it in some sort of way? Like, why did he do that? And then also, can you imagine now it's, like, the man that obviously raised you after your mom was dead. Like, you now hate him, and he's dead.
I feel like...
That's so fucked up.
I've heard a similar story, but it was the wife doing it to the husband. Mm. But it was... He was really abusive.
See, that's what I mean. It's like, if you... I don't...
Yeah, you just don't know.
I don't... Listen. I don't know if it would make it
If
better.
You're gonna make a deathbed confession, dear listeners...
It's gotta be fun, spunky, don't just, cool.
Don't... Yeah, well... That or, like, if it is heavier, right, don't just drop, like, I killed grandma and then pass. Like, you need to at least answer some of the questions. If you're going to choose to disclose the information, you owe all the facts.
So we'll just make it funny. There was this one, I didn't edit in here, but it was basically, like, this man, he was passed away. He was, like, old. It was, like, my grandpa passed away, or before he passed away, he told my grandma, I shrunk your two very expensive sweatshirts or sweaters and hid them, like, or something like that. Like, just, like, so funny from, like, 20 years before. Like, and he just felt so guilty about it. He had to tell her.
See, that's great.
That's what I mean. It's, like, kind of cute, funny.
I'm going to put $20 on the fact that that man was Catholic carrying that kind of guilt around.
Ooh. Okay. So this is relayed to me by my mother before her passing. My great uncle admitted that he had eliminated his first wife because he found her harming their neighbor's son when he was 5 years old. This was when he lived in Ireland, and a few years later, he moved to America, met another woman, and lived his life happily, had a number of kids and grandkids. It put most of the family into shock, as my great uncle was one of the kindest people you would ever meet. No explanation on how he got away with it or any more of that. He passed, like, 3 minutes later, shook my family up for a while. And that's from Demonic
See, that's
Wombat.
What I'm saying.
At least he gave details.
Yeah, I mean, he gave some details, but...
Well, he gave a semi-legitimate reason as to why he, you know...
But they weren't related to her?
No, this was his great-uncle's first wife.
Hmm.
Whatever, listen, he's like, I just gotta let you know I killed that bitch. This is why.
It's kind of a badass one, as long as whatever...
It's like, true.
I don't know. I feel like if you're hurting a kid, you kind of deserve
Absolutely.
It. As much as you and I don't like kids, we never wish harm on them.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying she probably deserved. I mean, I think she deserved it. I mean, it's cool. You got away with it and then just uprooted and had a really great life. Yeah. See, this is kind of a cool one because it's a bad one, but it's kind of cool because he's like, hey, bitches, let me just tell you what happened to that first wife.
But, like, see, I would still be mad because I'd want, like, the whole, like, how'd you do it?
Yeah. What how'd you get away first? With it? What did her family say? Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he got more details than the other ones.
Ah, we'll give him that. Yeah.
Okay. My mom was from China, though we are now happily residing in a European country. We went back to China for my grandmother's last few weeks as she was struggling with terminal cancer. On my grandma's last days, she requested that my mom stay with her alone, and it was only then she revealed that my mom wasn't her biological kid.
I bet we know which European country they're in.
My grandma confessed that she was bought by my mom from the black market, which was common in China, because she had tried for years and still couldn't get pregnant. And that's from Castlin 04.
Wait, who was bought by who?
Okay, so her grandma was dying, and so her grandma requested to talk to her mom one last time, and she confessed that I bought you on the black market, essentially.
Oh.
Because I couldn't get pregnant, and they never told her, and they just... It was actually way longer than this, because it just really... It's actually really sad. It went on about how great of a mother she was, and they just loved her so much, and, like, you just never would have thought that she was a purchased child, which is wild, but I shortened it. But that's a wild one. Like, I don't know if I would want to know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one you should take with you. It's a little too late. Although, you know, with all the 23s and me and DNA tests,
that's true.
I guess if you might find it out later.
Actually, that's a really good
it's
point.
Better to hear it from the source. I feel like most of these things we're talking about anyway are just like, none of them are news you want to receive. So what's the best way to receive terrible news?
Yeah. Mm. All right. I had this old patient where I used to work who would never talk unless his daughter was in the room. She had asked something about her stepmother, who passed away a couple years before. and her death was the reason he had to come to the nursing home. On one of these days after she left, I was getting him ready for bed, and the last thing he said before passing was, "I should have finished the job of drowning her and burning down the house."
Do we know who her was?
I assume the daughter, because the stepmother is already dead, and he had to go to the nursing home because she died. So did he drown? I think he drowned the stepmother, and he was supposed to burn the whole house down. I'm not sure. I should have finished the job of drowning her and burning down the house.
Damn, I feel like most deathbed confessions are like, we're saying regretful things we did, not regretful murders we didn't do.
Oh my god. Listen.
That I kind of am here for that one, though. Like,
well,
okay, hold on. Hear me out. I'm here for it because if you drop a murder, right? Okay, I murdered so-and-so on my deathbed. Like, that makes you a terrible human. But this one, it's kind of badass in a way of, like, I should have finished the job. Like, and then maybe whoever was supposed to receive that drowning or burning of the house, maybe they'll straighten their act out because they know they barely survive.
I don't know. I kind of took it as he was the one that killed the stepmother. And that he was trying to kill the daughter, too. I don't know.
I like this one.
Yeah, that one was that. Listen, that I actually really did enjoy that one, too, because I'm like, ooh, he's a little spicy meatball. Like, what a sass. All right. Are you ready for another?
Ask me if I'm ready.
One more time. Okay. In 2019, a Fort Knox police officer recorded an interview confession about an event that he had that had taken place in 1989. That's the year I was born.
Old ass.
Himself, along with some coworkers, killed an entire Bigfoot family. So they stumbled across the Bigfoot family, and while one was trying to release one of the other ones out of a bear trap.
Was this in self-defense or no?
No. He said that he opened up on them, referring to the children as juveniles. He admitted it took 4 magazines that they had fired. And one of his coworkers actually ended up killing himself after because the trauma and the PTSD got to him. And this man was quoted saying, "When you see those things, it changes you." And after the murders, as I'm calling them, they were taken to a hospital, forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement about what they saw, and were questioned by the government officials. You can actually listen to the whole interview. I actually find it kind of disturbing.
And this just shows how fucked up our priorities
are. We're so upset about
them killing Bigfoot families.
Yeah, me too.
Than this, you know, old woman who maybe took 14.
Right. Seconds. And so the interviewer asked, like, what made you decide to tell a story? And he said, "I have stage 4 cancer." And then he died. Here's the thing.
If I was part of like a government cover up, I'd probably be spilling those secrets as I'm dying, too. Like, if I couldn't say them while I was alive, because, like, God knows, you'd probably disappear.
Yeah, I agree. I agree I would be telling it, too. But I guess it'll be linked in the show notes, the interview. You can listen to it. I actually had to stop listening to it because it's making me really uncomfortable because he was so nonchalant. And, like, he just said he had no remorse and did not feel bad. And, like, the mom, Bigfoot, was, like, stuck in a trap. Like, they were just trying to get her out. It's actually really fucking heartbreaking. I don't know why it's so disturbing. Like you said, I just really didn't like it.
That is kind of sad.
So I understand, like, as far as if we're answering yes and no, I would definitely confess to that because, like you said, why not? Like, I'm laying all the damn secrets out because...
Get them government secrets.
It don't matter now. No matter what I fucking signed. But that story really bummed me out.
Yeah. R.I.P. Bigfoot fam.
So I think it was mom and dad and either 2 or 3 little ones. It's so sad. I want to see a little Bigfoot!
How many men were there? Because like,
I think it was 3. It was a driver.
Pretty impressive that he took down that many Bigfoot persons.
I just don't believe he had to, and that's the sad part. You know, karma is probably that cancer. I said what I said.
Damn, laying it on thick as Bigfoot's fur.
He should have went over and been like, "Mama Bigfoot, let me help you. Let me open this trap for you." And then they probably just would have scurried along.
Hopefully.
They would have. Okay. So Boyd Bushman, who was a senior scientist for the Lockheed Martin in Fort Worth, Texas, shared on his deathbed the story of a pilot's mission from 1947 about a crash and capture of a UFO.
I'm aware of this one.
According to him, and I can read this. This is like a quote. The radar group had found a blimp out over New Mexico, and they wanted to assign the pilot to go check it out. He got the fastest airplane at the time. It was a fully armed. He was out flying, and he found that item. Oh my God, I can't speak. And he found the item, and he immediately communicated back and said, first of all, I want you to tell me if there are any other airplanes flying out in the area. Control responded, just the two of you. The pilot said, second, I want to know if I do have the authority to shoot it down. They replied, why do you want to shoot it down? He said, because I am flying the fastest thing the United States can make, and he's beginning to leave me behind. I know he's either a friend or an enemy, and if he's leaving me, he's an enemy. Therefore, I wish authority to shoot it down. He was granted authority, shot him down. He flew past and saw that there was a road on the side and of a fenced-in area. He came down, landed his airplane. It was hard to do, but he did it. He cut across the fence. The door to the craft was open, and one of them, alien beings, was out walking around. The pilot didn't care about that. He cared about the vehicle, what the vehicle was. When he ducked down, because they were only about 5 feet tall inside the craft, he saw that he could see through the walls. Not only that, the floor was spongy. He looked at the three that were there, and they were dead. He knew it would be a while before the military arrived, and he did not want to be alone with the fourth alien. He reboarded his plane and took off. He was never debriefed at the scene. So you obviously know this, but Boyd also talked about seeing them, talking to them. He has provided picture evidence, which you can go look at, and it's really crazy.
Okay. I have feelings on this one. First of all, Lockheed Martin, it's one of the most secure companies in the world to work for. I get that, right? But like, I don't know what their standards of security are or were, because you had this guy who broke the Roswell crash. Mm-hmm. You have Bob Lazar, who broke all of Area 51. Like,
yeah,
they kind of need I'm glad, because I like that they spilled all the alien stuff to us. But because of Boyd, that's now a big portion of why they think that this alien is still like within the government.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, apparently he just walks around and chills in there. Like, some people think like he kind of works, does his things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like a lot. He did say that that he was told by them that there are two types of otherworldly beings: the Wranglers, which kind of guide humans, while the others are the Rustlers, and they're just not so nice. There is a lot more to this confession that I left out, because I figured it would kind of be a whole episode that we could do on it. But it was absolutely considered a deathbed confession, so I wanted to add it in here. And those are some of the millions of deathbed confessions that I've recently consumed. Thank you very much. The end.
Okay. Do you ever watch American Dad?
No, I never really did.
Roger the Alien is based on that, the living.
Oh, that makes sense. Yes. Okay, so I know we kind of did and we kind of didn't, but let's go back. Okay, so let's start from the begin. Okay, did we clarify if you thought that you would, if you were the brother that killed your twin brother and then to go be married to his wife, would you have confessed that on your deathbed?
I would say yes, based only on the fact the wife is dead.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so you're the 86-year-old woman that stole 14 souls.
You know, honestly, if like my grandma said that on her deathbed, I'd be like, damn, grandma's kind of cool. So I'm going yes.
I would 100%, no matter what it meant.
I know all the other ones, like we said, they should give more story, but I like the
vagueness. I love that this is vague, because it probably means something completely different, like we kind of talked about.
Right.
You know, like it's probably, yeah, like she converted somebody over to a different religion. She like stole their soul. Yeah, it's probably something like that. I love her. I want to be friends with her. This one's just like really sad, but would you confess to the stillborn? I think to get it off of your conscience, I think that maybe.
Yeah, probably it's a conscious thing would be about the only reason, Or if you, like I said, if somebody had to get that freezer cleaned out, definitely.
Oh yeah, or like,
you don't want that to be a surprise.
Oh god. I think we already said that if we were the dad that lied about how the sister died, we probably wouldn't, but since it was on the death certificate, he kind of had to.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, his hand was forced either way. Yeah. So that one's hard to put a judgment on. I think that's one that should have been handled maybe years earlier, but you can see like probably one lie and then all of a sudden, you know.
And it's like the yeah, why bring up trauma, more trauma about it? I get it. What about the grandpa that confessed to his son that he actually had killed his mother? She did commit suicide. That's not funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You would confess to that?
Confess that. Wait, she was the one who was hurting the other
kid,
right?
No. This is the one where he just told his son when he was dying, he's like, yeah, your mom didn't kill herself. I killed her.
Oh, yeah, probably not. You don't want to leave a trail of family trauma any more than I'm sure that man already did.
Right. He already has trauma because he thought his mom, you know, oh, so sad.
Well, listen, if he got away with murder once, too, I'm sure he wasn't the greatest father.
Yeah.
God only knows. Whatever. Okay. It's all conjecture.
Okay, so yeah, the guy that killed his wife because she was hurting the kid, yeah, I would definitely mic drop that shit. And I like that he gave some details. We talked about he sprinkled in some details. This is why
right.
She deserved it. Boom.
You, like, I know you can't go into all the details, but we need a beginning, middle, and end, okay?
I really just want to know how he did it. Like, did you have, like hey, honey, let's have a romantic date night, and then you just offed her?
My God. maybe he staircased her. That's not funny. All right, let's keep going before I make terrible jokes that are going to make our listeners hate me.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think we said no on this one, but the girl that was fortunately she was bought from the black market, so that she's in a home. But I don't know if I would have confessed to that because I don't think she needed to know that. But like you said, 23andMe and fuck.
I'm going to say no on the deathbed, but maybe that's one that you should have had when the child became an adult.
Damn, I think I'm going to say yes, though, only because you made me think, like, if she did any sort of ancestry stuff and figured it out after, that would be horrible.
Yeah, that is true. At least you heard from the source. Maybe honesty is just the best policy for all of these and everyone should confess.
Yeah, but maybe not just on your death, but maybe before.
Right.
We already talked about how much we love the, I should have finished the job of drowning her and burning down the house.
That perfect deathbed confession. If you regret not murdering somebody, I don't know.
I think he murdered one and just didn't get rid of the other. I'm confused, but love it.
I love that one because that's like, it's not that you did something, right? You've now just dropped the intent. Like,
first off,
I should have done
everybody it. Listening is like, they are such idiots because first we're telling them that we want more details. This one has like no details, but it's our favorite. Like,
but there's no crime here. That's what makes this one.
I think it is because the wife died. We don't know how. I think he killed her.
All right.
Her death was the reason he had to come to the nursing home. That's what it says. And then once his daughter left, he said, I should have finished the job of drowning her and burning down the house.
See, that to me, I heard it differently as like he doesn't like the daughter for whatever
reason. Yeah, I think he killed the wife and he meant like he should have finished it off by drowning the daughter and then burning down the house.
See, I read it as he attempted to kill the daughter once and then just couldn't do it because like, why would he kill somebody that would end up leading to him in a nursing home? That just is, if that's how it actually is, then he's stupid.
Well, either way, we don't know, but we like it because he seems like a special little meatball. The Bigfoot family, I guess we talked about it. Like we would admit to it or confess to it because it's like a government thing. And it's like, at this point, why not? Would we have done it? Absolutely fucking not. Because why would we hurt that poor little family?
Yeah. Yep. You summed it up well.
Bitches. Did you hear that?
Sounds like a woodpecker.
It's the birds in the window by the attic. They're not in the attic, but they've gotten in the little fake window. Okay. What are they doing up? Aren't they supposed to be sleeping? It's 9:43 at night, little birds.
I don't know anything about birds.
Oh, because they're not squirrels in your walls. Okay. And then the alien one. Yeah, I would definitely confess to that. Hello.
Government secret again. People need to know about the aliens if they're here.
So basically, we're pretty much saying yes to majority.
I think so. You get it off your chest. You might give a little bit of closure.
But here's the thing. Do you give a shit if you get closure? You're going to be dead soon.
Well, I think about it as less of you giving a shit and more about like giving some resolution to the people who have to live on.
Yeah, but if they didn't even know about the event and then you just dropped it on them, you're just fucking them up for years to come.
Those are the ones that are a little bit harder, but it's like the ones where it's like absolving them of some sort of guilt or whatever would give somebody else closure. I'm down for. If it's spilling government secrets, tell me all day.
And if you tried to murder somebody and didn't get to do it, also confess.
Yeah, if you regret not killing somebody, always, always be that kind of petty, spiteful.
We got to figure out what we're going to say and practice it for the rest of our lives so that it just is like, we know that that's what we're saying as our last breath. Like, it's just, we know.
We got to come up with something
good. I know. I'm so excited. That's so...
Should have killed Kara when I had the chance.
That's so fucked up. Okay. So...
What if we...
Oh my God, what? No. Well, no, what?
I was going to let it go, but no, I can't. Okay, what if we make up a deathbed fib?
Ooh.
And when you and I leave the world, we both confess to having a love child with each other.
Yeah, but...
We both know that's never going to fucking happen. But
like, also...
If we leave any children or family, they are going to be trying to figure out like where in the world our little... oddball child is.
I mean, I like that idea, but people would be like, I've been with Kara her whole entire life and she's never been pregnant, so how's that possible?
Oh, crap.
Otherwise, I like that idea.
Okay, we both name a surrogate that we use, but...
But what's the point of
this? We make sure we name the same surrogate. I don't know, just to, like, leave people with...
No, I meant, but, like, what would the point of us doing that be? Who took care of the child, then? What was the point of us...
See, that's not for us to figure out. That's for everyone else who lives on
to try to figure out
where that child is, who took care of it. Yeah.
Okay, I like it.
See, you leave them with a little confusion.
That's more than a little confusion. That's a lot. Like, why would they even do that? What is wrong with them?
I'll give them a key to like a UPS lockbox or whatever, or USPS lockbox,
with like a note.
And it is just a turkey baster.
Oh my God, wait, you know what would be so, whoever is going to get this confession is going to be like, wherever that child of Karen's ex is the most fucked up human.
Oh, for sure.
They are going to be so fucked
up.
For
sure.
Oh God.
Oh, except now we put it out into the airwaves, so we have to come up with a new story.
That was good. Yes. All right, well, thanks for listening.
You know what? For the first time, I don't have to ask you to leave it with something light.
That was crazy.
We did good.
All right. Well, with all of that being said, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed. We hope you keep listening.
And before she wraps it up too quickly, if your family members have dropped any little truth bombs on you, please write in and let us know. We want to know your family's deathbed confessions or like, yeah, any of them.
They can just be funny.
Honestly, any weird confession that just was like a bomb dropped on you.
Yeah. All right.
Share us your traumas and leave us a review.
In the review, tell us what your traumas are.
And what we should name our love child.
Oh. There's not a name that has a Z and a K in it. Like, how are we going to do...
Zeke.
Oh. Okay.
Literally took me 2 seconds.
What if it's a girl? Zekra?
Kazoo?
A name. Like a... Kazoo. That's stupid. Okay, this is dumb. Give us all the things that Zach just asked for, and we love you, and thanks for being here. And most importantly, creep it really, oddballs.
Goodbye.
Bye. Oddity Shop.